Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you, Kids Church team and Kids Church children. Kids, if you want to hang around here for a moment, because I got another video that I think you'll enjoy. I hope you'll enjoy it. And it's for you, but maybe the adults might enjoy it too. I'm not sure, but we'll see. We'll see. Before I get into this morning's preach, I just wanted to acknowledge that we have all of our Children's Church volunteers in the room for the first time, probably for many, many months this morning. So if you're a Children's Church volunteer, would you mind just standing up? I don't mean to embarrass you, but we just want to honour you. There's none of you in the room at all. There you go. You're just humble. And thank you to all of our volunteers. I know we met with so many of you last Sunday and we said that, but if you missed out on last Sunday's volunteer event, thank you for all you do, church. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this season. I thank you for this day, Lord God. I thank you that we can come into your house. I thank you for the air we breathe. And Lord, just have your way this morning as we explore the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus. Father, I ask that you would bring fresh revelation to each of us. Father, that we may leave this place changed for your glory. Amen. Amen. So, church, I got another video. I couldn't just like not acknowledge that we've got a whole heap of our children in the room. So it's for them really, but I think you might enjoy it. So turn your eyes to the screen for a few minutes. So kids, that's my preach, okay? So if you don't understand what I'm saying, just remember the video, okay? And same goes for you guys as well. All right. So, church, just off the back of that video, you see, you might think that God just wanted to change things up on us at Christmas time when we reflect upon the birth of Jesus. You see, you might think that God was trying to get our attention through the most creative way possible. And while we may not have seen it coming, the birth of Christ is actually absolutely in keeping with the character of God. You see, our God is not brash or abrasive. He's not oppressive or overbearing, but he is full of grace and mercy. And that's one thought that I think we'll develop a little bit this morning. You see, the story of Jesus' birth is a cry from God, calling us to intimacy with him. He's calling us to a place that allows him to speak to us and for us to hear with clarity. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke on waiting upon the Lord. And the Hebrew word for wait is a word pronounced kavah. Okay, that word means to entwine or twist together with God. And this morning's message really stands alongside that one as we consider what it looks like for us to come together with God through the Christmas period in particular. You see, at Christ's birth, God did not plaster this news on billboards. He did not tweet it out on social networks, nor did he plaster that news on the hump of a camel. That was meant to be funny, but anyway. Tough crowd. God wasn't interested in mass advertising or promotion. You see, he was far more interested in individual relationships. No more so than with Mary, mother-to-be of Jesus. And we're going to do quite a bit of Bible reading right now. We're going to read through a lot of the Christmas story. So we're going to pick the story up in Luke 1. Okay, Luke 1, I'm going to read 26 to 38 out of the NIV version. So if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, you can find that place. Otherwise, it will be up on your screens. Okay, so the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, I'm just going to pause there. If you don't know who Elizabeth was, she was the wife of priest Zechariah, and they were a most godly couple with an incredible story of their own. And you can check that out in the earlier chapters of Luke, okay? So I highly, highly recommend that part of the story, but that's not what we're going to focus on today. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will have no end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child at her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. It continues, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." And then Mary sings this beautiful song. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. And the Bible continues into this story of the birth of John the Baptist, who was Zechariah and Elizabeth's son, before the birth of Jesus is foretold in Luke 2. I'm going to carry on from Luke 2:2. Okay? In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census would be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared to the angel, with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone on to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, thanks for staying with me, church. That was a long amount of scripture, but a beautiful story. And some of those points to it are sometimes overlooked. And I just loved Mary's song as well within that, and sometimes we overlook that. So I felt it was just very important to read that scripture through to you. And there are some key observations to make when we read through these passages. You see, at birth, Jesus, the Son of God, was a baby, vulnerable, requiring care, in no position to impose himself on the world nor assert his power over it. You see, at birth, Jesus, as a baby, he was not communicating or acting in power or might. At birth, Jesus was born into a controversial context. That he was born by a virgin in Mary, but even Joseph had in mind at one stage to privately divorce Mary because of her pregnancy. And you can find this in Matthew 1, around verse 19. And Joseph only changed his mind after the Lord spoke to him in a dream. This was difficult for Joseph to comprehend. You see, only those closest to the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph, were fully informed of what was happening. And let it be said, even for them, this was no regular occurrence. See, Jesus at birth was born into a lowly place. He was essentially born into a place set apart for animals. The people of Bethlehem had no room for him. And I wonder if that sounds familiar, church, because that scenario draws parallels even to this day, living in a world that seemingly has less and less room for Jesus. You see, Jesus at birth, he did not arrive in fanfare, nor ceremoniously. He was born into the abyss, a shining light, born into a dark world. God's humility was notable at the birth of his son. He chose to arrive just as one of us. There was nothing spectacular about this moment in the world's eyes. You see, Jesus' arrival was part of God's will to connect with his creation, to connect with his people through small, intimate relationships. God's actions at the birth of Jesus were also an act of unmerited favor upon man. That favor we often refer to as grace. And isn't that the case still today, church? Our God, the same yesterday, today, and forever, so desiring to be in relationship, intimate, unique relationship with each of us. And I know this is a short preach this morning, but this is where I want to land up. You see, God's grace upon his people to place his only begotten son, Jesus, on this earth and subject to all its challenges and all its opposition, even from birth, all the way through to his death. God's grace was there from the beginning. And is this grace not a blueprint for us to follow, particularly at this Christmas time, to build relationships and to operate in grace? You see, I wonder over our dining tables, I wonder with our family or our friends, in the shops or in the car parks, in our workplaces, or at our end-of-year Christmas celebrations with fellow Christians, or maybe those that do not know Christ. Jesus gives us a blueprint to build relationship and operate in grace. You see, Christ came with humility. He came to this earth in gentleness, not might. He came with great, great, great care over relationships, not recklessness. And he came with an understanding that he wanted to connect with his people, first and foremost. And we should remember that this connection comes at a great, great cost. Ultimately, the cost of Jesus' life. It's that same grace that we ourselves have received through Christ. And it is not cheap grace. It is not easy grace. We have not earned that grace. It is a gift given to us freely that we receive. And I want to say this, therefore, church, we have no right to be self-righteous or hold the moral high ground through this season. Because if we are operating in grace, we should also be aware that this grace is something that we have received, but we do not deserve. You see, God's motivation was consistent and true from the birth of Christ throughout his entire life. His motivation was so, so pure. God could not deny his own character. He could not deny the order of life that he had put in place, which Jesus would also be subject to. Can I have the worship team up, please? God entrusted Christ into the hands of the faithful to be humbly committed to raising up Jesus. Mary and Joseph were faithful, faithful followers of the Lord. And I wonder this Christmas, if the message of Jesus is entrusted all these years after to the faithful. And by faithful, I mean so many of you. And I wonder if we fully acknowledge that God can be at work even through a baby, even through this incredible gentleness, even through this quiet, lowly place. God is at work. So church, I speak out to you this morning and say, be gentle in our interactions. I know we live in a world that can polarize us. I know we live in a world where not everyone knows Jesus nor agrees with his great love. But it doesn't give us any right to be anything less than gentle, than humble, to build relationship regardless of what we might encounter. But Jesus, at his birth, encountered exactly those things. So church, I encourage you to come. Come into a place of intimacy with the Lord today, acknowledging his grace that is so upon us. It is so apparent at Christmas time, this act of beautiful grace. He didn't come with strength or might to overpower us or overbear us. He came gently. He came gently to lead us into relationship. And he cries out for that yet again this morning. So come, church. Let us adore him this Christmas season. Why don't we stand in awe of his wondrous ways, carrying his spirit into all of our relationships, even the testing ones, just as God does through Jesus. Pour out his grace to all because of his grace to us, and carry peace to all this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, why don't we sing?